The Crossman Conversation brought to you by Advent Health.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Mike Gillen.
It is that time again.
Here with me always. And listen, before we get started.
John's story hour.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Okay,
that's okay. Listen, man, I don't know if you're like me, but like sometimes I'm on a flight or I'm just at my house, it's a hard day, and I look at my phone and, you know, I look at like videos of like puppies, you know, the algorithms, yeah. You know, and like my Great Dane Pepper, so I get a lot of dog stuff. And then, you know, I get some peppy like mental health stuff because, you know, I like to talk about mental health,
right,
you know,
right.
And so I have that and like different things. But then every once in a while something pops up and I'm like, ooh, and then like I, you know, click on it and I kind of go and then all of a sudden I'm down into some weird rabbit hole, which usually ends up in me thinking, do I need to become a prepper and build a bunker? You know, like getting all freaked out about
the end is near.
The end is nigh. Like some crazy thing. And so it makes me like really back up and be like, man, what do I read and what do I trust? You know, like there's sometimes I hear crazy conspiracy things that are totally cuckoo crazy. And then, but sometimes there's stuff that I don't know if it qualifies as conspiracy, but it's investigative reporting that's real. Like, ooh, that's a real story, mm-hmm. right? And in the middle of that, you know what, Mike? I just think like life is complicated. And like, I think, and certainly me at some points, but a lot of us, we want things to be simple.
Right.
And the reality is like, it's not simple.
It's not going to be simple anymore.
It's complicated. Well, it never has been.
It never has been.
It never has been.
So, we just thought it was.
Yeah, right. It's complicated. So anyway, what I think about these complex things, and I need a calm, reasonable voice that I can say, what do you think, that like can look at all sides and kind of put it down the middle and calm me down. That's our guest today. That's J.C. Derrick. This guy, who's the publisher of Main Street Daily News. Thanks for being here, my man.
You're welcome. It's always fun to be with you. And I have to say, your introductions, I think they get more of the top every time.
Do they really?
You make me sound way better than I am.
Well, I mean it. You know, I mean it. Like, my mom listens to every show and she's like, you always seem to really like your guests. And I'm like, I do like my guest. I do. I mean, I don't bring my jerks in here or something. Like,
yeah, you know what, my motto in life is too short to interview people you don't like.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go. Well, what I like about you, JC, is like you seem to have a very healthy perspective, and you also don't seem to like be doing a party line at any point in time. You don't seem to like that you're pushing like some sort of agenda thing, you know.
Right.
I think if we want to tell the truth, mm-hmm. you know, it's like we can have a favorite athlete that we follow. And we love what they do on the field or on the court, but then we find out like they're not the greatest person.
Mm-hmm.
You can still be a fan of them athletically and not be a fan of them, you know, on a personal level. And, mm-hmm. and you can look at both, right? But some people, they can't do that. They'll be like, well, either that person's dead to me or no. They never cheat on their spouse or they pay their taxes.
It's not true.
It's fake news,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So that's my question for you today, man. Like what do I do when I'm thinking about any subject and I want to understand it better and I want to understand the subject matter? Where do I go? So the question is, JC, where do you go for your news? Where do you go for your, you're a publisher, right? You're in
right,
it.
Right.
So you can't just read your stuff you write all day. You have to go somewhere.
Of course. Where do you go? Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is probably the number one question I get when people find out that I'm a journalist. Just, you know, you're living life and, oh, you really, you know, what do you watch? What do you listen to? You know, everybody wants to know. And I think part of that is, you know, trust in media is at all time low. We all know this. And in many cases for good reason. I mean, there are some legitimate problems that in the media, some of which are not new, by the way, but that's another subject. But people want kind of a silver bullet solution. Where's the place I can go where I can trust everything they tell me? Well, I hate to tell you, that place does not exist. You know, and part of the reason is because we're fallen human beings. No one has a monopoly on truth. We all have our perspectives. And whether you're producing news or consuming news, one of the first things that I think we have to remember just in approaching this whole conversation is beware of your own biases. You know, we are all a product of our own life experience, education, family of origin, religion, you go down through the list, you know, we don't approach really anything with a completely neutral perspective, which is why I think it's critical that we consume broadly. You know, don't get an echo chamber, get a variety of news.
You know, on that, JC, it's so funny is that like cultures are different, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know me well enough to know that I live a pretty intense kind of lifestyle, like bang, 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 things going on. And I go to a lot of events, but I kind of make an appearance, right? And I always joke about, I do the Irish goodbye, like I'm out. And my wife is from Mississippi, and like, you would never, ever, ever do that. Like, you have to, it takes 30 minutes to leave.
At least,
because you have to hug every single person. And so when I tell her I do that, or she wouldn't do that with me professionally, but my kids would, and my kids are like, Mom, we love the Irish goodbye. You just walk out, you know? But that's a microcosm of that, right? Because as a reporter, if a reporter is covering something that happens in a community that's Orthodox Jewish community, mm-hmm. they may not have context. They're like, oh, you know what? When they go to the temple, they go to the synagogue, they don't drive and they have to be in walking proximity or something like that. If you don't understand a culture or don't understand like what's rooted in one culture is not rooted in another culture, or again, subtext and things like that, it's complicated. And it's really unfair to expect journalists to be experts everywhere. They tend to be generalists.
Absolutely.
Right? It's like you can't expect them to know the specifics on, you know, oil and then know the specifics on guns and specifics on addiction, right? No human can have that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this, I know this is a little bit going down a rabbit trail, but I think it's an important one, is just to note that, you know, in the mainstream press, I mentioned some of those problems are kind of well-deserved. Or the criticisms and the lack of trust is because, you know, do media outlets represent, do they understand those communities they're covering? Do they represent a cross-section of the, you know, the area they're covering, the country, whatever? And I think there's an increasing awareness of the importance of ideological diversity in mm-hmm. newsrooms. We hear a lot about the idea of diversity in general, but a lot of times ideological diversity sort of is not even on the radar. And I think we're seeing that change. There's been a lot of discussion about it over numerous controversies in the last few years at the New York Times. This week, an editor at NPR came out with a piece that was very brave. I mean, it was almost like, is he still going to have a job? You know, because he talked about the ways that they have failed to in their own newsroom in their staff reflect the rest of the country, and it inhibits their ability to cover the country because there's just a lack of curiosity about things that are you know, major issues in large part of the country. I also spoke with someone who I will not name, but at a major newspaper here in Florida recently, who acknowledged the same thing exists in their room. And they've really come to, through listening to their critics, they've come to see that, you know, we really need some more newsroom diversity. I think this is enormously encouraging because everybody needs it. You know, you mentioned I'm with Main Street Daily News. We have newsroom diversity of all types, you know, and I think that's including ideological is where I'm going with that. I think that's really important. The stories you see, the sources you read are all, you know, it all feeds into, you know, as imperfect as possible, but you know, as it may be, still a better, more well-rounded, more nuanced view of the world, just understanding various communities and what's actually going on.
We're going to have to get to actually the heart of the question. So yes. What do you listen to?
So it depends on the day. It's not always the same thing. But I will say, when we say specifically the word listen, I mean, there's really three main types when I think about news consumption. It's what you're reading, what you're listening to, what you're watching. These can be very different things. I watch very little news, like almost zero. I don't watch news at all. And we can talk about that. But listening to news, I do listen to some podcasts at different times, things that will pique my interest. But one that I think is really great is something, it's an app called Hourly News, literally Hourly News. It's black with a white play button on it. And it has, it's free, and it allows you to choose news outlet, like the newscasts from various outlets. So in 10, 12 minutes, I can get the hourly newscast from NPR, BBC, CBC, you know, Canadian Broadcasting Company. You know, if you like sports like I do, you know, maybe ESPN, the Wall Street Journal's on there. But you can kind of curate and just get a variety of perspectives on what's going on in just 10 minutes while you're driving to work.
Does Canada have news? I didn't know that was
happening. They do.
They do.
It is amazing. I have learned so much by listening to that newscast. You learn things like, for example, did you know their presidential election is timed? You cannot campaign until a certain time. I could be wrong. It's something like 8 weeks.
Wow.
It's delightful. They cannot campaign until like 8 weeks before the election. So it concentrates everything, as opposed to here where it's constant election season. You know, it's never out of election season. So you learn things like that. BBC in like 2 minutes. I mean, it's like they'll just give you headlines from all over the world, things that you did not know. And at least it gives you an awareness of the types of things that are going on. So moving on, that's one of the main things that listening that I do. But I get actually most of my news from email newsletters. And this is a great way to, you know, again, these are side trails I won't go down, but algorithms play a huge part in what news we see, particularly online. And if you are not choosing your news, proactively sifting your news, then you are just at the mercy of the algorithms and what they decide to feed you, especially true for like social media, but even just like Googling something. So I choose to curate my news through email newsletters. I get a combination of local, state, and national newsletters. I get about a half dozen of them. I don't read them all every day, but it gives me a cross section and I am reasonably informed. And again, it just 10, 15 minutes. You can scroll through those, scan through, click on a story that interests you, and you got a good idea of what's going on.
That's awesome. So you said it's reading, listening, and watching, and you don't watch a lot.
Literally almost zero. The only exceptions would be if there's a State of the Union address, maybe an occasional presidential debate, something like that. Election coverage, you know, I'll turn it on if it's election night, you know, I want to see as returns come in and things like that. But in terms of like the daily grind of news, I literally watch zero news.
So it sounds like it's just super intentional of multiple outlets, and it's sort of the highest integrity. So you said newsletters that you're subscribing to topically, and then hourly news. But again, I was teasing you about Canada because they're easy to tease. What, they're going to get mad? They'll forgive me. They're nice people.
They are
very nice people. But, you know, that's a good perspective as well. Listen, we're going to take a break, and I've got a couple things I want to ask you about. It goes just a little bit deeper, but always just appreciate your insights. So JC Derrick, publisher of Main Street Daily News. We'll take a break and be right back.
How do you measure the human spirit? In pounds? In milliliters? In the distance traveled between yesterday and today? Or maybe there's no way to measure the human spirit, because as you remind us every day, it simply has no limit. Learn more about how we care for your whole body, mind, and spirit at AdventHealth.com.
Crossmark Services is a commercial real estate firm offering a wide range of professional services, including advisory, brokerage and leasing, investing, and property management. Our staff comprises the industry's most seasoned professionals who possess the needed knowledge in real estate investments, analysis, and portfolio management to drive growth. See how Crossmark can work for you. That's crossmarkservices.com.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
All right, we're back here with JC Derrick, publisher of the Main Street Daily News. And JC, somebody I extremely admire you so much. And in this area, I really don't know anybody better. And I was talking about, like, how do you pick your news, right? That was a topic. And so you talked about reading, listening, and watching. You yourself don't watch a lot, but reading email newsletters, and then do the listening to hourly news and different sources. So there's two things within all this that I wanted to pick your brain on a little bit. The first one is the concept of affirming what we already believe versus challenging what we believe, right? And so when I just am relaxing, like when I turn my brain off, I'm a Florida State fan. And so I'll turn on like FSU, you know, articles and things like that. And honestly, I'm not looking for an opposing view,
right?
I'm not looking for, I don't want to know about the PAC, whatever, or Big Ten. You know, I just want to know. And I would joke about how, you know, my best news outlet I listen to is the Osceola. You know, I'm just being silly, but in that context, I'm just relaxing. But when it comes to, you know, important things, you know, I like to be a challenge. And my problem is I either listen to one news outlet that, you know, I probably agree with, but I know they're not really telling me everything, or another one that disagrees, but disagreeing with me is not challenging me, because if somebody says something that's just crazy, that's not challenging my beliefs. Mm-hmm. It was like, whatever. Challenging is when somebody says, you know, like, hey, John, I know you're really into helping civil rights. Here's a thing that's helping civil rights. And maybe it's a different path, right? Or gosh, the person that's leading is someone I don't really like, but I like what they're doing, right? And I'm always comfortable. I'm always comfortable saying, hey, that politician that's not my party, I like that thing they're doing, right?
Right.
So can you help me, the affirming versus challenging as relates to media consumption? Can you touch on that?
Ooh, I mean, that's a big topic. I think for me, what I always encourage people to do, and I think I referenced this a few minutes ago, was just consuming widely. I really don't think there's one, regardless of where you're, you know, you could be left, right, center. I think everybody should be having a moderately broad view of, you know, a group of sources that they're going to for news. When I think about the, you know, a lot of people, I think, forget that while opinion is one way to influence people, that more important way you influence people is just by the editorial decisions you make about what to cover. Mm-hmm. Where are you choosing to shine the spotlight? And I think that's what often gets lost. You know, we hear this term fake news, and people will talk about how, you know, oh, that's fake news. It's like, well, let's drill down on that for a second. Fake news is not something that you just disagree with. You know, it's not a slanted view of a reported fact. Fake news is literally something that has been made up. And it's unfortunate that that is actually very common. It does not all, you know, this is not a conspiracy theory. We know it is documented that there are actors from other countries around the world who are trying to influence our elections, our society, you know, just.
We've done that to them.
Yes. I mean, it's a thing. And
it's so part
we
of
have
the game.
To, we have to be aware of it. So that's fake news. Okay. So, but I think what is not talked about as much, it's not fake news, but it's also important to note. It's just where they're choosing to shine the spotlight. It may be a result of particular outlets having sources in particular places on a particular side of the political aisle. So they naturally find out about more things in a particular area. But the fact is that they do choose to put the light in certain places. So one example that always comes to mind is last year, my wife and I were on a cruise, and I told you I don't watch news. I don't, but on the cruise, I was watching, we were looking for something on the cruise channel, and we came across MSNBC, which was talking about a Republican scandal, and then flipped by Fox News, which was talking about a Democratic scandal. Both of those things were true, but they were only telling their audiences about the one that their audience would want to hear about.
Well, I'm glad you're on a cruise. You deserve that, by the way. That's the best part. Listen, I agree with you. And here's how I would respond to that by saying is that to me, it would be gun control, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, let me give you a first. This is, I believe, a fact. And I'll get back this up. Your child being in a public school is one of the safest places they're ever going to be in their entire life. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean I'm not concerned about school shootings? Of course I am, right? But statistically, when your child goes to school, it's a very, very safe place. The likelihood of a school shooting is extraordinarily low, right?
Like flying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like it's extremely low. Now, when we talk about gun deaths in America, the overwhelming majority are suicide. The overwhelming majority are suicide. And, you know, that's a big area I like to talk about. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't give politicians power to talk about it, right?
Yes.
And so both sides will talk about gun control before and against. And I'm over here saying, hey, you realize that neither of those really solve the problem. Mm-hmm. Neither of mm-hmm. them really do anything to impact the right. actual core issue.
Right.
And that's what you're talking about. With that whole concept of affirming versus challenging, I was asking that, JC, for you, like you, the human, mm-hmm. right? So like when you're reading this stuff or you're listening from BBC or whatever, in your own brain, I mean, do you enjoy it when you're like, oh, that's challenging? Ooh.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
I seek those things out to things that will challenge, like, oh, this was an assumption I had that's interesting, you know? And I think that particularly applies most of all to like the people that we cover, you know, like mm-hmm. these politicians who, you know, a lot of media outlets just sort of paint them as all good or all bad, depending on what tribe you're in. And it's like, they're a nuanced mix of all of it, you know? And we, on the local level, you know, we just did a 3-part series on a newsmaker interview series talking to local lawmakers who represent the Gainesville area at the state capitol. They just finished the session. And so we were talking to them and, you know, it actually happens quite regularly that people will break with their party on something. And there's often really interesting reasons why. For example, there was a bill on homelessness and a local Democratic lawmaker who we were interviewing. She was like one of the only, if not the only, Democrat who voted for this bill that was largely pushed by Republicans. And she talked about that. She talked about her personal knowledge of this issue and what Alachua County has gone through and why she felt like, you know, we can't just keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, you know. So she was sort of challenging the people on her side to like reexamine this issue because we have to do something about it. The traditional narratives haven't, you know, and approaches haven't worked. So I think that's really critical for all of us to look for alternative ways at approaching things. Because I feel like the more and more people just retreat to their own corners, the more we just talk past each other and see our problems grow bigger, not better.
So my last, thank you, brilliant. And so the last thing I want to ask in our time left we have together is, when I think about like surface level feelings, and you've got three young boys, so you probably yes. feel some feelings, you know? Is fear and anger, right? Mm. Those are they're surfacey. You know, like they're right at the surface. They're not deep, you know, but a lot of media news media seems to work off of that. And one of my favorite stories and example of this is James Comey, right? And so, you know, there was a Netflix thing that came out about him and I watched it and it's like all what went on there, it's sort of controversial, whatever. And I have two family members, one very conservative, one very liberal. And both of them really hate James Comey. And it was fascinating because when I was like, tell me why. And it was like, well, because he caused, you know, Hillary Clinton to lose. And then the other one was like, well, he damaged Trump. And I was like, gosh, this is really fascinating. But I know people who are terrified that Trump's going to win the election. Like their fear is overwhelming. And I have people I know who are terrified of a Biden reelection. Mm-hmm. And I look at both sides. I'm like, guys, come on. I mean, like you have to look at like the planet's been through a lot. The nation's been through a lot. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, I mean, that's why you have a checks and balances. That's why you have local government. But man, the feeling, right?
Well, and what's particularly interesting this time about that is that for the first time in our lives, this hasn't happened since the 19th century. We have a president who's coming back. So both of these candidates, we have proven that we as a country can survive both.
Okay? That's true.
So it's like that whole argument is plainly undermined by the fact that we've already been through both. So I don't care what your fear is. We survived both.
Was it Teddy Roosevelt?
It was Grover Cleveland, I want to say.
He had two, but they weren't back to back.
Right, right. Wow. He served one term. Someone else came in and then he came in again.
Wow. Well, it's funny. I attended an event that James Carville was speaking. He was really good, really funny. He's very funny.
And married to a conservative.
Yeah. And he talked about that. And he had two kids. And people were like, your kid's conservative or are they liberal? And he's like, one's one, one's the other. You know.
Naturally.
Yeah. But he talked about in U.S. history, it was like something like predominantly for like 80 years, every president was essentially like a Democrat. And for 80 years, essentially, it was like Republican. So if you look at the vast majority of U.S. history, for most people, they lived their entire life with one style mm-hmm. and then others lived with the other style.
Yeah.
It's only been relatively recently, it's flip-flop back and forth.
It has. I just think going back to your topic of fear, I think it is largely, I mean, I have to criticize my own kind here. You know, it is largely media driven. I think we've seen that, I mean, there's research to back this up, that fear and anxiety drives more engagement. That's why we see the social media companies encouraging it, promoting it, you know, prioritizing that in their algorithms. And I think it's up to each one of us to push back on that.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, again, you're a smart guy and you're in this world. You didn't come to conclusions about not watching because you just one day quit. You came to that conclusion because you thought it through. And mm-hmm. so when we acknowledge, look, if you're feeling a tremendous amount of fear, anger, anxiety, not the best time to go grocery shopping, right? Not the best time to like make major financial decisions, mm-hmm. right? So it is a good time to probably like journal, call a friend, go for a walk, right?
Slow down.
Right. And so when you're feeling those feelings, it's not a great time to watch the news. And if you're watching news and you're starting to feel those things, that's why I love Main Street Daily News. You know, like, you know, I was just talking about how like everything you guys put out, I retweet. The reason why is it's that I believe in local news. I just believe mm-hmm. in like, hey, if you feel like, oh my gosh, this is a problem, then go do something. Like if you're feeling like, man, illiteracy is an issue, go read a book.
Volunteer in your local schools.
Go do something. Yes. You know, somebody was complaining about, you know, the university system. And it's like, guys, I'm a trustee at two universities. Like, I guest lecture all the time. And by the way, all the stuff I hear about, I don't personally experience. Mm-hmm. I talk at universities all the time. And I'm a Republican, conservative, Christian, capitalist. I don't have any money. You know, like, it's been a great experience. And so I'm like, come with me. Come mm-hmm. with me. Volunteer with me, right? Anyway, JC, we got to wrap up. Thanks for being here. We're going to have you back again because I always like talking about these topics. But on this topic about how you pick your media, very helpful and very insightful. So thanks for being here with us today.
Good. Thanks for having me.
All right. As always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.